Hello.
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 How are you doing?
Hello.
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 Would you say the way we are behaving is goofy?
Oh.
Would you say it is goony?
Oh. Okay, now I get what you're doing.
Would you say it is guy? Before we even get into the intro, before we even say what book we're doing, I have a question for you.
Me or the audience?
Oh. Not the audience. I mean, I have many questions for the audience. Who are you people? Where are you people? Are you even listening? But I have a question for you, my guest, which is this. Without naming any names, because we try to respect people's privacy, but without naming any names, do you know anyone or have you ever known anyone in school who you would describe as a goofy, goony guy? It could be a man, a boy, or a girl. Doesn't matter. But someone who's like the main character of this week's book.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't know anyone who's particularly goofy, particularly goony?
No, we don't really have a class clown or anything.
Do you go to the boringest school on the planet?
No. So my school is actually very fun.
Yeah, so I would say that is your school so fun and so welcoming that no one feels the need to be the goofiest or gooniest?
I mean, nobody's like goofy goony, but like we all laugh.
You all laugh.
Well, so, I mean, like nobody really has the urge to put goofy and goony in the class because like everybody has their own like group kind of like. Me and my friends, kind of, we are the one, we three just do our own thing, while, like, there are other people who have their own sense of humor. So there's not really, like, a sense of humor that everybody has. I mean, like, sometimes someone will make a joke and, like, the room's quiet and everybody will start laughing, so.
So nobody stands out like
no.
The goofy, goony guy. Well, congratulations. You go to the greatest school on the face of the earth.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're not allowed to do that.
Hey, you're fake.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week I am covering a book that I have been wanting to cover for a long time. As soon as I at first saw the title of it, I was like, this book is going to be something to talk about. And actually, once I saw the cover, I was like, I cannot imagine who I would even have on as my guest. I could think of a million different people who would love to be on to talk about this book. And because of that, I was kind of just like, I'm not ready to talk about it. I don't know who to have on. I don't want anybody to feel left out because they're the one who didn't get asked to talk about this book. And then, my own child, Mitzi, happened to read this book because I got it in the mail. And she needed a book to read for class. And I don't remember whose idea it was.
It was mine.
It was Mitzi's idea to be... Actually, I believe that the idea went through my head. I was like, should I ask Mitzi to be on the show? And I was like, she doesn't like being on the show anymore. She gets so bored when she does the show. And then then you said...
Something like, this is a pretty interesting book. Can I be on your show?
And I was like, you want to be on my show? And lo and behold, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, Mitzi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so the question I asked at the top was, do you know anybody in class who is goofy, a goony guy? And you said no. And I will ask this. Have you ever had anyone in your class, anyone who's arrived in class, or anyone who gets treated like an outsider just because they're a little different?
No, or no one is really outstandingly different or anything.
Well, I'd say that's great. I'd say that you seem to go to a school that's run by people who are generally good at helping kids accept others despite their differences.
I mean, like when I was in first grade or second grade, and even this year, like there were some people that were like totally different, but they still made friends. Like someone did not know English at all, and he learned, and everybody, like, he got friends. He got treated the same as anybody else.
Well, let's talk about this particular student who is treated differently from everybody else. And he's an unusual character. So this is the Berenstain Bears, the goofy, goony guy. It's by the Berenstains. It is a stepping stone book, this is a series of books that I haven't covered too much on the show. They are chapter books, but they're not big chapter books. They're not big chapter books like the ones I've covered before. They're shorter chapter books, but they're still chapter books. Like this one had how many chapters?
9.
Yeah, so this is a 9 chapter book. How many pages? It has a...
like 80 something?
And it's like in total like 90 pages. With big illustrations and stuff, but it's still like it's a substantial book.
Like, yeah, there are like one illustration per chapter, so it's not like...
Yeah, it's not a big picture book.
No.
But it's written by the Berenstains, so, you know, which Berenstain it is, I'm not sure. Well, Mitzi, because you are my guest, why don't you just tell us a little bit about what the goofy, goony guy is about?
Well, as you could probably guess from the cover, it's mostly about... the goofy goony guy.
Well, explain the cover.
Well, the cover has really weird lettering. It, like, it's all goofy.
Yeah, it's not in your usual Berenstain Bears font.
Yeah, it's, like, really goofy.
Goofy. Goony.
Yeah. And the pictures of Sister looking at this guy who's... she describes this later, but... everything, if you just look at the cover, everything on him sticks out. Like, his fur sticks out, his teeth sticks out, his nose is actually pretty big.
Yeah.
So, like, Sister is, like, glowering at him, and he's doing, like, this really weird trick. I think he's, like...
he's standing on his hands.
He's standing on his hands with his legs by his ears, like, kind of doing... if you're doing a backbend... in a really weird way, they'll probably yeah. break your back. That's what he's doing.
So the cover gives us a few clues. The goofy goony guy has buck teeth that stand straight out.
Yes.
And we've never seen a character with teeth like this in a Baron's.
No.
I actually did go to school with a young boy who had teeth that stuck straight out like this.
Well, what?
Yeah, it's just a case of like, it's just sometimes your front teeth grow out. And he eventually got braces and they got fixed. But it did stand out because it made it a little uncomfortable for him to smile. I will say that as somebody with pretty crooked teeth, but that I tend to be able to hide pretty well. I'm pretty self-conscious about the crookedness of my teeth. And I know that teeth, for some reason...
you have crooked teeth?
I do have crooked teeth. See?
No.
Do you see? Like this tooth sticks way out.
Oh.
And these teeth are all crooked right here. But I will say this. As someone with crooked teeth, teeth grow how they grow. You can't do anything about that. You can fix them if you have the money or the time. But they're something that people tend to judge people on.
Yeah, like, ooh, you have crooked teeth. You're probably not like the...
like we judge people's like intelligence and their social skills off like what their teeth look like, which is the weirdest thing.
I know, and like how they're like if they have a hunchback or like, right, just
I guess that goes. People whose bodies look different than we think they should look, we tend to like make snap judgments. I won't say everybody does. I know there are people who are better at this than other people, but
like I don't really like, oh, you have crooked teeth. You're probably not like that smart. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, this guy gets introduced into the story. He is a new kid in school.
Yeah.
And what is his name?
Oh, yeah. Harold Armfoot III.
Herbert Harold Armfoot.
Yeah.
III. Now, is Armfoot a real last name? I'm going to look it up right now because Armfoot. Armfoot. Is Armfoot a real last name? Armfoot. So, the first thing that comes up on Google when I Google the word Armfoot is a news story, woman's arm, foot severed by private plane propeller.
Oof.
So, I'm going to say that Armfoot, oh my God, it's all this story about this woman whose arm and this foot. That's grisly. it's all just this one horrible story about this accident. I can't, what is going on? I'm not even under news. Armfoot. No, I'm going to say that Armfoot is not an actual name. It's also not a typical Berenstain Bears name.
Well, I mean, he has to be the Goofy Goonie guy. You don't usually call people Goofy Goonie guys. And
but it's also, the name doesn't have the word bear in it anywhere. It's that thing where they're giving them what sounds like a goofy name. Now, I'm very glad that Armfoot is not a real last name, by the way. I would hate to look it up and it's like, I don't know, some sort of ethnic name. I pretty much covered my bases here. I cannot find it anywhere. But it is weird that like they chose a goofy last name for this goofy character. Also, he's the third, which means what?
Which means his grandfather was the first, and his father was the second, and that makes him the third.
Now, describe Herbert Harold Armfoot, the third.
Which one? The first, second, or third?
The third. We never meet the first or second.
You never meet his parents. No. Also, he walks home alone.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no one to supervise the buses.
Now, what kind of person is Herbert Harold Armfoot?
The third.
The third.
Herbert Harold Armfoot the third is...
Is he mean?
Rather than Goofy Goonie. No, he's not mean. He's pretty nice. He lacks many, many, many social properties.
Yeah, his social graces are a little...
Yeah. Once he followed sister home from the bus, and once he climbed up her treehouse or tree, whatever you want to call it,
the treehouse
once he climbed up the treehouse and knocked on her window to get inside, like only to get inside, and like when he was not climbing up the tree but when he actually knocked at their door, he was like, I'm gonna go upstairs if you don't mind, bye.
Yeah, he's the new kid in school, and he looks weird to the other kids, and he lacks some social skills. He has trouble, like, reading social cues.
Most social cues.
Many of them. Like, and like I said, like, he's not completely socially inept. Like, he knows to knock on the door.
He needed to climb the tree.
He did climb the tree, but he knocked on her window. Like I said, he didn't throw a rock through the window.
Why would he?
He wears clothes. He seems to be intelligent. So this is a young boy who he doesn't seem to have many friends. He's new in town. We don't know where he moved from.
Nobody is his friend.
We don't get any kind of backstory on him.
Yeah, he just like moved.
He just shows up.
He's like, I'm here.
Sister does not want to be his friend. He gets seated next to her. She is unhappy about that.
Yeah. Even once she wrote in her notebook like a full page, I hate Harold Armfoot.
But she did cross it out.
And then she wrote it again.
But she wrote it again only after he barged into her room again.
And started talking with her dad for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, so he ends up just sort of like following her home.
Yeah.
You kept saying creepy, but not in a creepy way. Like, he's not stalking her.
He technically did watch her get off the bus.
He did watch her get off the bus. So this is not something you should encourage people to do.
No.
It does come across as a little creepy, but he is a child who doesn't seem to understand, like, what's appropriate and what's not. Like, it seems like no one taught him this, or he just simply doesn't catch on. He's not doing it to be aggressive. He's doing it just because he wants to meet her. And so he's like, oh, okay. He seems almost to be doing it in a detective sort of way. I am not excusing this behavior. If a kid did this to you, this like followed you home, I wouldn't be angry. I would just be like, oh, hey, dude, do your parents know you're here?
Also, why did you just climb up the side
right.
of the house?
If I would be like, it seems like you just don't quite understand where the boundaries are here. Let's learn some boundaries. Like, he doesn't seem to understand what boundaries are.
Yes.
Like, don't climb up my child's wall and knock on her window. Even though, you know, at least you are the same age as my child. But don't do that. Instead, ask her at school if you can come by that day.
Or, you know, like a week before.
Right. Give us some headway. And yes, he's very forward.
Yeah, it can't be that day because I would have to call you and stuff.
Right. Okay. I will say this harkens back to a time, we live in a slightly different time than the Berenstains did when they were raising kids.
This was 20. 2009.
Right, but they're writing from their own experience when they were raising kids decades before. And I will say that once upon, even when I was a kid, it was far more common to just show up at someone's house.
Like, well, you didn't. Yeah, you just kind of like showed up at your friend's house.
Right, you just went over there, and if they were home, they would play, and if they weren't home, they couldn't. If they couldn't play, they couldn't play.
Well, like with me and my friends across the alley, like we just show up at each other's houses.
Exactly. That was far more common with just any kids. Like, just some random kid from the neighborhood just might show up at your house, even if you didn't know them very well. So he is doing something that's a little more common back in the day.
Back in the day.
However, he still hasn't really, like, met Sister. However, he's also very unusual. What does he do at recess?
Oh, my. Okay. So at recess, there's the boy side and the girl side. You probably know about this from other podcasts. I mean, not podcasts. I mean, you might. There are probably other Bear Inside Bear podcasts. But from my dad's podcast, but from different books. Yeah, books. Like, there is the girl side and the boy side. The girls usually do, I think, yeah, the girls do Double Duchess and the boys do some type of sport. It's not a rule, but no one has done it in centuries.
Right.
Like, boys go on girls? I know.
So the girls are playing Double Dutch and they're very good at it.
Yes.
And the boys are playing punch ball.
Fistball.
Fistball. Which is like baseball, but you don't use a bat. You use your fist. Which sounds so fun, by the way.
Yes. I think we actually tried it once. It didn't work very well because we didn't have a big enough space, and I think it almost flew over the, like, other person's.
Oh, with your big bouncy balls?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you need a bigger space for it. But she looks around, and he's not there.
And then she noticed that he's first in line for Double Duchess. And he jumps and jumps to Red Hot Pepper.
Yep, he jumps so much that he keeps speeding up until he's doing Red Hot Pepper. Now, what is Red Hot Pepper?
I don't know, but I'm assuming it's the fastest they can spin.
Yeah, I've looked up Red Hot Pepper before because Sister is always going on about how she can do Red Hot Pepper. And I can't remember what it is. From what I remember, it was a certain rhyme that you would do while you were skipping rope.
But they seem like it's a level, like mild, medium, red hot pepper.
So,
like, you know,
who knows? Who knows?
I mean, they have their chant like Double Dutch, double. Oh yeah, sorry, I called it Double Duchess.
I know you keep saying that.
I'm just gonna call it Double Duchess because it sounds better. So Double Dutch, Double Dutch. Ropes can sting.
Yeah, their like Double Dutch chant is very much about, Double Dutch, such a much. Rope can sting like anything.
Yeah, which is kind of disturbing.
That's intense.
Yeah.
But he's very good at Double Dutch.
He does it longer than anyone in 10 centuries.
Yep, and when he comes over to her house and finds brother doing model airplanes,
he's like, oh, yay, airplanes.
Yep.
And you're like, airplanes are one of my favorite things.
Yep, he names Captain Jimmy Bear Little's BG Racer, also known as the Flying Milk Bottle, Lucky Lynn Bear's Ryan Special, and Will Bear and Orville Wright's first plane. So he not only is enthusiastic about these things, he knows a lot about them.
Yeah.
His differences have nothing to do with his intelligence.
No.
He seems to absorb information very well.
Yes.
And spit it back out very well, too.
And absorb it again.
Yes. But this is the point. Okay, so here's where the plot of the book really kicks in. Is the next day at school, Sister goes to sit next to Lizzie Bruin on the bus, and what happens?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, you have to know this first. There's Marcia. Liz?
Don't. Marcia?
Marcia?
What is their names? Marcia?
Liz, and
I'm surprised you remembered Marcia, because that was the one you had the biggest problem with. Not Liz, because that's Lizzie's name.
Yeah.
Marcia, Gwen, and Jill.
Jill is the one I was. Yeah. And they, like, are boy crazy.
Yes.
So, anyway, back in the future. Or the present, I guess. Back in the present.
Yes.
Sister comes on the bus and she's like, "Hey, Lizzie," or something like that. I don't really remember.
She always sits next to Lizzie on the
bus. Yeah, so Lizzie
saves her a seat.
Yes. And she's like, hi, Lizzie, and blah, blah, blah. They, like, talk before she gets on the bus. Like, it's a, like, hey, what's going on? And then, so, like, the bus driver doesn't say this, but I make it more interesting.
You're taking a long time to get to the point of this little anecdote.
Uh-huh. And then she sits and she becomes a red hot, a hot pepper?
No, she does not become a red hot pepper.
Like, her ears start steaming.
Yes. They describe Sister getting mad throughout this book in many different ways. Why does she get upset, though?
Because on the bus, there is a sign, I'm assuming, taped to the bus, and
I thought it was taped to the seat.
I mean, taped to the seat.
Yeah, like where she would be sitting.
Yeah, where she sits with Lizzie. And there are three hearts above it, and then Herbert, and obviously handwriting, not print or anything. Like, yeah. It's messy. Herbert is mad about Sister. XXXX, well, you get the point.
Yes.
But there are no O's. There
no like, O's, no hugs for Sister.
No.
Just X's.
Yeah.
And so this becomes a thing. So these signs start popping up around school.
The next one is on the playground.
In chalk.
In chalk on the sidewalk after they get out of the bus.
And then the third one is on the blackboard in class.
And it's very big. And there are three hearts, like always. Herbert Harold Armfoot III, they use his whole name, is madly in love with Sister. XXXXX, you get the point.
Yes. So the signs start appearing. Sister first thinks Herbert's doing it, but it's impossible for Herbert to be doing it because
he would have gone to he would have gone into the school.
Yeah.
He would have had to get on the sidewalk, and he would have had to have gotten in the seat before Lizzie.
Yeah, he would have had to have done everything before
everything.
Sister got anywhere, and that's impossible.
And all of those times after they see it, Marcia,
Gwen,
and Jill are laughing.
Yeah. So that's a thing. So this is just starts driving Sister nuts. Like she is
like terror.
Yeah.
She's
steaming about this. And this is when she writes, I hate Harold Armfoot the Third.
Well, after she goes home and he goes home.
And then she's like, no, wait, I don't hate him. Like, she's annoyed by him.
I hate Marcia, Gwen, and Jill.
Right, they annoy her.
And then she X's it out. And that's when
Harold shows up at her window.
And she's thinking about writing that all again.
Yeah, and she lets him in, and then she kicks him out. And
she's like, you better walk downstairs right now.
But on his way out, he runs into Papa, who's making a lure, because he's a fly fisherman.
Yeah.
And that's when Harold reveals that he is an expert, or Herbert reveals he is an expert on?
Fly fishing. Well, it's not an expert. One of his favorite things
yes.
is fly fishing.
And he gives Papa a few pointers on how to make his lure.
And he uses dragonflies, not flies.
Mm-hmm, to catch bass.
Bass.
And you're like, oh, okay, this boy knows a lot about fly fishing, I guess. And then he leaves, and Sister's irritated.
And she writes, I hate Harold Armfoot the Third all over it.
But she's also worried for him because he behaves differently than the other students.
Too tall.
Like, she's caught him just sort of staring at trees before. And she knows that, like you just said.
Too tall will
jump all over him.
Get him.
Too tall's not at school right now. He and his gang have been
kicked out.
Kicked out of school.
I think for harassing teacher Bob or something.
Yes, for being just horrible people.
No, I think he was actually harassing teacher Bob.
Whatever that implies. So they have been suspended, you assume, for the duration. But they will be back, and she knows that as soon as they see Herbert, they're going to go ham on him. Just
because the new kids are the most vulnerable. Because they have, like, no friends, no...
Yeah. So then we find out that they're going to go on a field trip.
Field trip!
The most amazing field trip, especially for Brother and Sister Bear. Because where are they going?
Farmer Ben, who, like, they seem like they don't even know. Like, ooh, right. He lives across the street, actually. Probably in this book he, like, lives a mile away or something.
Well, because they're like, we're going to Farmer Ben's farm. And Sister goes home and Brother's like, ooh, that's fun. Farmer Ben's farm is really great. And I'm like, yeah,
you
guys have worked there. You guys have been there a million times. You've had all kinds of adventures with Farmer Ben, who lives right around the corner from you.
Actually, across the street.
Yeah, like his farm is within walking distance of your house. You've accidentally ended up there before. And they're like, ooh, what's Farmer Ben's farm like? So like you said, I assume this book takes place in a different continuity than the rest of the books. where the bears aren't good friends with Farmer Ben.
Or know him at all.
Yeah, because they
or
don't
see like them. They're like 5 miles away.
I'm like, you've literally grown your own crops on his farm. You got summer jobs on his farm. So, but in any case, that's their field trip is to Farmer Ben's farm.
What? Tootall tried to pick on him earlier. Oh, yeah, they were playing dodgeball earlier before the field trip.
And what is Harold really good at? Or Herbert?
Herbert, not Harold. That's his second name. Dodging.
Yes.
So, I will read you this little section. So, it didn't take long. The Tootall gang came after Herbert the next day. It was at playtime. Some second graders were playing dodgeball. It was Herbert's turn to go in the middle. Tootall and his gang took over the game. They threw balls as hard as they could, but they couldn't hit Herbert. He was too quick. He jumped. He twisted. He turned. He dodged. "Hey!" shouted Tootall. "You keep dodging!" "That's why it's called dodgeball," said Herbert. The rest of the Cubs laughed. The gang didn't like being laughed at by second graders.
So, A, that is Mitzi's Herbert Harold arm, but the third voice, which is great. And you know what that scene reminded me of? We just watched an episode of Avatar where Aang gets into a fight with a school bully, and the bully's trying to hit him.
And he doesn't even do offense. He doesn't even really do defense. He just kind of like
he just dodges. He dodges like, the whole time. That's what this reminded me of.
He could have done it with his hands tied behind his back. He has his hands behind his back.
Yeah.
He's like standing up straight.
And that's what I kept imagining Herbert doing. Just sort of just like casually dodging the ball.
Except for in the picture.
His eyes are big.
Well, I mean, his eyes are always big. That's probably why. Like, look at this picture.
He's really good at dodging. So Tootall has it in for him. How dare he not get hit by Tootall? So they go to Farmer Ben's farm and they
meet the chickens, yeah, they feed them and blah, blah, blah. Then after lunch, right before lunch, there is this angry bull and mysteriously someone, obviously not Farmer Ben could not have let the door open. Also, they don't say Farmer Ben, left the bullpen door open. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, someone left it open. It must have been the guy who runs the farm.
Also, they don't mention Mrs. Ben.
Oh, I thought they did mention Mrs. Ben.
No, Farmer Ben is the only Ben guy.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. So it had to be Farmer Ben, unless, your favorite character, what's his name?
Raffish Ralph?
Yeah, that's Raffish Ralph's like king over there.
So what does the bull do?
The bull charges
at Sister.
At Sister, because everybody ran away, so... And then Herbert Harold Armfoot III, I call him HHA3. So HHA3 went into the pen and was like, "Ooh, ha ha ha, you little bull, you can't catch me." He doesn't actually say that though.
What does he say?
Let me see.
He is a very specific thing that you enjoyed saying whenever you read it.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, so earlier. This is not main part, but it's one of my favorite parts. So earlier in the book, when I was reading it to my dad, because I read it and then I wanted to read it again, but I didn't want to read it for no purpose, so I read it to my dad before he even read it, so he didn't know what was going on at all. They had to line up by size order, and Lizzie was in the back, which they don't... Why would they mention that? I don't know. Lizzie was in the back, and Sister... And they had to hold... There was a group of boys and girls. Boys on one side, girls on the other. And the boy she had to hold hands with was HHA3. So, that's why. And then the three girls... I'm just calling them the three girls. You know their names, probably. Marsha,
Jill...
Jenny. And
Gwen.
Yeah. Well, the three girls were like, this is what it was supposed to be. And then I'll tell you what I said. They were like, Herbert's holding hands with Sister. Sister and Herbert are holding hands. And they sang that twice, but I didn't get that.
Right.
Or, I did it on purpose. I don't remember why. And I was like, Herbert and Sister are holding hands.
Because it's spelled HA-ANDS. It's like hat-ands.
So.
And you so Mitzi was reading it out loud, and she's like, Sister and Herbert holding hat and holding and I was like, what are you doing? And then she showed me. I was like, I think it's supposed to be hands, like mockingly. And she was like, oh. So then when Herbert is distracting the bull, what happens?
So Herbert lets go of Sister's hands because they were holding hands, obviously. But he didn't run away. He ran along the bullpen fence. He climbed into the bullpen. He began dancing and yelling and waving his arms. Yeah, 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 yeah. He yelled. He waved his arms as fast as a windmill.
As fast as a windmill. So he distracts the bull, and the bull ends up...
And then he's... going after Herbert, and then he scales the fence and jumps out.
And the bull hits the wall.
And he gets, for his troubles, a nice headache.
A nice headache. But Herbert Harold Armfoot III...
has to spit out some facts.
Oh, I was going to say ends up saving Sister's life. But also, yes, he does spit out facts because they ask him, like, how'd you know how to distract the bull?
And the bull was like, HHA... Three. It's probably just easier to say
Herbert Harold Armfoot III, yes.
I'm just going to go with it, though. He was like, well, actually, I know that their sight is really bad, and they really have sensitive ears, and they're attracted to red. That's just a myth.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually, like, really colorblind.
So he knows a lot about bulls.
And then he says, because bulls are one of my favorite things. Like,
and I want to say that the way that Herbert Harold Armfoot III shares this information is not the same as, say, the way Ferdy Factual shares information.
Yeah.
Ferdy Factual is a smart aleck and a know-it-all. Herbert Harold Armfoot III is just, he knows these things and he sort of just says them matter-of-factly. Like
he's not like being like... because duh.
Yeah, he's not trying to show you how smart he is.
He's just like, oh, you asked me a question, I'm going
to
answer it.
Yeah, he's happy to know the answer.
So that's something that I think factual or whatever.
Ferdy Factual?
Ferdy Factual does not, that's a social etiquette he does not know.
Right, Ferdy Factual lacks social etiquette when it comes to making, Ferdy Factual likes other people to feel dumb. And
but Herbert is, that's one of the... things he has, like, that he knows to be social and polite.
Mm-hmm. So he saves Sister's life, and and then the next day at school.
Oh, yeah. It's a few days later. They say a few days later.
Was it a few days later?
Yes. A few days later, it's all grades field day, and they all sign up for different things. Too Tall doesn't. And Herbert is going to, but then Too Tall's like, hey, Herbert, I bet you can't beat me in a race. I'll even give you a head start. And he had a plan. Let me read you this magnificent plan.
Who had the plan?
The Too Tall. Not.
The Too Tall had the plan.
The Too Tall.
Yes, this is a field day. Did you have field day at school?
Yes, we do.
Where you spend all day just outside?
Not all day, but...
Field day in elementary school was awesome because it was the one day of the year we were allowed to bring soda to school.
Wait, what?
We were allowed to bring sodas to school. And people wouldn't bring Coke or anything like that. Everyone brought Shastas. And we all had Shastas in various flavors. Grape, strawberry, orange, Shastas.
Shastas.
And everyone would have Shasta. We'd eat outside. And all day was field day. Where we would compete in different events. You got to sign up for them. Everyone had to compete in something, but you could sign up for as many as you wanted. I was not a field day fanatic. I was not a field day fan. I was not a field day participant. So I would sign up for as few things as possible. But once I did sign up for a sprinting competition, and I got third.
Like Sister!
Like Sister. So what is the big plan? What is Too Tall's big plan?
Okay, I'm trying to find it. It doesn't really, like...
Well, just why don't you just describe it to us?
Okay, well, his big plan is to step on Herbert's feet.
Yes.
Herbert Harold Armfoot III feet. It's heels.
Mm-hmm.
Then trip him over and walk on him. And then kick him off on the edge of the race. Like, just, like, kick him off the boundaries and win the race.
But
then... Herbert Harold Armfoot III wins without a gaining point. Like, he doesn't need
a handicap, he says.
Yeah, he doesn't need a handicap. And he did it. He beat Tootall hopping on one foot.
Yep, he's that good.
Which I think is kind of like a show off, kind of. I mean, like, I can beat you while hopping on one foot.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't, like, say that or anything, so that's the only thing, but...
What ends up happening, though, to Herbert Harold Armfoot at the end of this book? Like, what happens to him?
Well, not at the very end.
Yeah, Tootall is now furious at Herbert.
Oh, yeah!
And so what did he start doing?
So, at the end of the school day, the Tootall gang, I don't remember their name, like, oh yeah, earlier in the book, Tootall was, the one I'm describing is his first session, not just the dodgeball part, that was his second, so the one I'm gonna describe after this was the fourth, you get the point. So the first run-in, Tootall was like, "What's your name?" And Herbert Harold Armfoot the third was like, Harold answered the third, and he just, and then Scuzz was like, "What? That's like a weird name."
Yeah.
And then he described it, and my dad was like, "Isn't his name Scuzz?"
Right.
And like Smirk and Tootall.
I was like, where does Tootall or Scuzz or Smirk get off making fun of somebody's name? Your name is Tootall. Your father's name is Tooton. Like, and you're making fun of someone for being named Herbert? You have the strangest name in all of Bear Country.
Also, like, Scuzz and Smirk.
You're friends with somebody named Sister and Brother. Like, weird names run rampant.
Actually,
in Bear Country.
Brother takes care of Tootall, not friends.
So, in any, so Brother also sticks up for Herbert. So, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get to the end of this book. So,
yeah, we're almost done. So the second to last thing that happens
is
they're beating up they're not beating up Tootall. Tootall never gets beaten up. They're beating up, you have to know this. They have this thing called, like, trees class or whatever, and they have to, like, find different types of trees, and they have one in their yard, like, the schoolyard, not, like, their yard. Herbert Harold Armfoot the Third, HHA3, knows about this tree that nobody knows about. It's not, like, a mysterious tree, but, like, nobody knows the name of it, and it has Osage oranges or something like that. They're, like, hard green.
Osage oranges, yeah.
Yeah, they're hard green fruits bigger than basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
Or baseballs? I think baseballs.
Baseballs, not basketballs.
That'd be
a pretty intense fruit to have there on your school's trees.
Oh yeah.
I also find it funny that he knows that there's Osage orange trees on school grounds, but nobody else seems to know this.
I mean, they're like the Z trees. They say,
you what?
They see trees, they think dodgeball.
Yeah. So in any case.
So they're beating him up, and Sister's like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna miss my bus." And then she sees them, and they're like, and she's like, "Oh my god, Herbert Harold Armfoot the Third is in trouble." And then she's like, "You stop it! Stop it now!" And Tootall, my sister voice.
What are you talking about? That's not what she does at all. She goes running up to them.
She goes running up to them and yells, "Stop that! Stop that!"
And do they?
No.
What happens? What happens to Herbert Harold Armfoot the Third?
He gets backed up against the Osage orange tree. And since climbing trees is one of his favorite things, obviously, he climbs up the tree, like, really fast. Because, like, I think the Tootall game is fast enough to, like, catch him before he gets up. But apparently they're very slow in this book.
We know that he is very good at climbing trees because he climbed up their treehouse.
Yes.
Yes.
And he shakes the tree so violently that the Osage oranges,
Osage, I guess.
Osage?
I guess how you say that word.
The Osage oranges fall on Tootall and his gang, like, really hard. They, like, actually hurt them.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, "Ow, yipes."
Now, what's interesting about Osage oranges is they typically grow in the South in America.
Cool.
Texas, Virginia, Kentucky, Oklahoma. But they seem to grow in Bear Country.
Well, we don't know where Bear Country is.
We don't know where Bear Town. We don't know where Bear Town is. But that sort of isolates the location of Bear Town pretty specifically into the American South.
But then they have stuff that grows in, like, the West and the East and the
right,
North.
And they're also in a ski town, so who knows? Osage oranges, by the way, you might know them as hedge apples.
What?
Horse apples.
Oh!
Bois d'arc.
What?
Bodarks. Bodocks. Bowwoods.
What is bow?
Monkey balls.
What?
Monkey brains.
Oh my god!
Yellowwood, or mock oranges. They mock are not oranges? Eaten by humans. Hardly ever eaten by foraging animals.
Ooh.
They are known as an anachronistic, quote, ghost of evolution.
Ghost of evolution.
A ghost of evolution. I don't know why they're called. I assume because their fruit makes no sense because nobody eats it, and that's why fruit exists, is to be eaten and then your seeds disperse that way.
Well,
so,
you know, what if we like actually ate when we didn't die?
Here we go. They're not eaten by foraging animals. They're eaten by black-tailed deer in Texas, which seems to contradict the foraging animals parts, and fox squirrels, who will drop them to crack them open. Crossbills are said to peck the seeds out.
Oh, wait, does it literally repeat everything twice?
No, it doesn't. I'm just being obnoxious. So, yes. So, and they are very large. They get to 8 to 15 centimeters in diameter. Big, big, hard fruits.
Wow.
In any case, why are we talking about this? So,
I don't know.
Herbert Harold Arford III climbs the tree, and what does he do?
He shakes them. I already said that.
Oh, and he knocks out the boys.
He doesn't actually knock them out, but, like, those are probably hard enough.
They're roughly spherical and bumpy.
Yeah, they're, like, actually, like, solid things.
And they secrete a sticky white latex when cut or damaged. So they get goo all over the boys, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? Is that the end of the book? Is that how it ends? Oh. Then
no, there's, like, another base thing at the very end. And, like, they, Sister and Armfoot, they talk to each other and they're like, "You missed your bus." And they're like, "I know." And then they're like, "Let's be friends now." And they walk home to school together.
They walk home to school.
They walk home
holding hands.
That's part of the way.
That's a big ending, though. Is that they end up?
Also, they go skipping.
They skip. They not only walk, they skip. That's a big deal because Sister is not like this boy.
She even wrote in her notebook, "I hate Herbert Harold Armfoot III."
Right. So it's a big step that she is actually walking home with him, holding hands with the boy.
Not like just because her teacher is like, "You have to hold hands."
Right. No, she is genuinely pleased to spend time with him. Herbert Harold Armfoot III is an interesting character. He's not your typical, he's not portrayed as a nerd. He's not portrayed as a know-it-all.
He's not portrayed as a usual person either.
But he's also not an innocent. He's not completely just like clueless.
I don't know what's happening.
Right. He knows how to defend himself.
He knows how to like stand up to him. Wait, mm-hmm. Stand up to himself?
Stand up for himself. He's a little bit like Milton. Milton, who was the farm boy who was very large.
The large guy.
And was
like,
good at wrestling.
He wrestled the pigs?
Yes. He's sort of like Milton.
I know him by wrestling the pigs.
Just in that he's kind of unassuming. But Milton was never portrayed as particularly intelligent.
I noticed one thing in the recent books. Most books, like in the pig book, I call it the pig book, the Newton book, and this book, usually with new people, the Tootle game seems to get weak. Like, he fought the Tootle gang and always won, like the wrestler guy. Armfoot the third, the Tootle game seems to soften to new kids or something, even though they're like, new kids are the best prey.
Well, I think it's because Tootle and they always underestimate the new kids. And then the new kids, like, always have skills that Tootle and his gang weren't anticipating. Because, you know, like, either they think the kids are going to be weak or they think the kids are going to be dumb. But
or
instead,
like, really smart and they, like, overestimate them and they're like...
But at the end of the day, Herbert Howard on for the third ends up being able to stick up for himself, ends up being a pretty savvy customer. I think he just has some social skills to learn.
Some social skills? A lot of social skills.
Not know if the Goofy Goony guy, who sister gets in trouble for calling him that by mama at one point. Yes, the parents have no patience for sister's intolerance of Herbert Harold Arm for the third. He ends up not being quite so goofy or goony.
Rather than his looks.
Rather than his looks, which I wish they had addressed more. Because
they don't really actually say, like, he's just on the inside. Well, Mama's like, it's actually what looks on the inside you, but that's like all they say,
right? And also, by saying that, you are also acknowledging that this boy is not like, instead of saying you shouldn't judge people just because they look different,
like the saying don't judge a book by its cover,
it's also important to say everybody looks different.
Yes.
We all have things about us that stand out, and we all have things about us that we're self-conscious about.
Yes.
Maybe don't judge other people based on things that they might be self-conscious about. Maybe just don't judge other people.
Yes,
get to know them first. And sister does. She gets to know Herbert.
Even though she doesn't take that into mind.
Right. And they end up, I assume, good friends. I don't know if we ever hear from Herbert Harold Armford again.
I'm guessing not.
I'm going to guess we don't.
If
he does show up again in another book, I will make sure and point it out.
Have me on if you.
But
if you do,
I will. But the Berenstain Bears, goofy, goony guy, Mitzi. What are your final judgment on it?
I'd probably give it a 4.5 star. The only thing is about the addressing it. But.
Oh, and the three girls.
Marcia,
Jill,
right.
And nothing ever happened with them.
Except for sister knows that they did the messages, but that's it.
Right.
Also, how?
Yeah, they never get any kind of comeuppance. There's never any resolution to the whole letters, the whole signs thing.
I mean, because it's also impossible for anybody on her bus, because they are on her bus.
Right. Well, I mean, I assume that they could have put the sign up when Lizzie wasn't looking, but how would they have written in chalk on the sidewalk if they're like,
and the teacher's board?
Class? But we never solve that mystery. So maybe a future book will address it. I don't know.
I don't think so.
In any case, I personally like the Goofy Goony guy a lot. It is long out of print. It is not available digitally. I had to buy my copy used from a dealer, but they are out there.
This is a really nice copy.
Yeah, you can find copies of this for just a few bucks. So if you're looking for it, and I do recommend it. It's a fun read. The illustrations are nice. I'm not sure who did the illustrations. I'm not sure who wrote this one.
I'm only going to read 20 minutes because that's how much I have to read today. And I read the whole book. It's a really good book.
Mitzi's not much of a sit down and read kind of person. And she sat down and she read this book. And you read it twice.
I read it twice.
So Mitzi is our in-house goofy, goony guy expert. And I give it a thumbs up. I really liked this book. I thought it was quite fun. So, and it's nice. I like sister-centered stories as well. So that's it. That is 2001's The Berenstain Bears, not the Berenstain Bears and the Goofy Goony Guy, the Berenstain Bears,
Goofy.
The Goofy Goony Guy. Mitzi, where can our listeners find you if they're looking for you online?
You can find me.
In
Twitter,
the yard.
Instagram, in the yard. Instagram.
Yeah, she's. If you're looking for Mitzi, she might be playing in the backyard, I guess.
Or trapped up in the house
listening to
Percy Jackson.
Listening to Percy Jackson books on her tablet. So you can find me at BerensteinBearcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can find me on Patreon.com/DeepInBearCountry. Every once in a while, I get some bonus stuff over there. I've been a little lax on the old Patreon recently because surprisingly, since lockdown began, I have had less time to focus on podcasting, which is weird.
Also, you have more work.
I have more work to do. I have a child to help look after. We have food to buy. We have food to things to eat. It's just there's less time, more dishes to wash. It's nuts. So
more dishes is the most important thing.
So my goal is to start pumping out stuff on Patreon. But if you would like to support me in these times, go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Throw a dollar or so a month my way. I recently got a $10 a month subscriber, which is awesome. If you are a $10 a month subscriber, which is awesome, you get to choose a children's book series for me to do a bonus special episode on. I have not heard back from this person since I wrote to them and said, thanks for being a $10. So If you are listening, $10 subscriber, please let me know what book series, what children's book series you would like me to cover, and I will do a massive special bonus episode on that book series. It could be anything. It could be Babar.
It might take a little while, but...
It could be Nate the Great.
We have a lot of Babar, by the way.
Right. It could be an Enid Blyton series.
Which, I don't know what that is.
It could be anything. Just let me know, and I will do my best to get the books as hard as it is in these trying times. So,
Or, you know, we already have, like, most children's books.
We have so many children's books. I am trying to finish this episode because it is late. You were supposed to be in bed. We're still recording this. Mitzi, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yay.
Everyone else, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all next time
deep in Bear Country.